I'm Elner Helene. I've lived in Moorhead since 1943. I have known Claire Arnberg for several years. We met through our church at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. And she is really the sweetheart of all the people in Our Savior's. And I think she's a pretty sharp young lady and very popular with everyone. Now, Clara, we would like you to tell us your name and also your maiden name and something about your early childhood.
Okay. My name is Clara Arnberg now. My maiden name was Clara Johnson. And I was originally born in Felton, Minnesota. And my grandfather was Johannes Johannesson, and he was born in Sweden in 1826. He was in the logging and lumber business. There was a log jam in the river, and he lost his life trying to get the logs moving. He died in 1904. My father's name was also Johannes Johannesson, born in 1865, and he died in 1911. But his name, when he came to America, was changed to John Johnson. He landed in Felton, Minnesota, and worked for a lumberman there. And then through that, he went to Averill and built one of the first buildings there, a store. And it was General Store, then the post office that was added in Averill, Minnesota.
And you were born in Felton, weren't you?
Yes, I was born in Felton in a little two-roomed house in 1898. And at that time, in 1899, when I was 9 months old, we were moved to Averill when the store was built in Averill. Mm-hmm. And at this time, in 1882, most of the people in Averill territory lived in a 10-by-14 shanty on the prairie, where mostly they were from Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. There, these wide open prairies, so their occupation mostly was herding cattle and haying, making hay. Their transportation probably was oxen, mules, and horses. And they were used, of course, in their farming activities too.
Mm-hmm. Now, then, were they interested in starting a church? Weren't they about that time?
Yes, they were.
Uh-huh.
In 1899, John Syme, an original person in the area, had donated 20 acres of land in Flowing Township, and the site for the church and cemetery. And each family donated $10 to this. And it was mostly a ladies' aid, as they called it at that time, who were donating this money. They organized the congregation and named it the Scandia Evangelical Lutheran Church. They celebrated the 50-year anniversary in 1949, where the church at that time had been moved to Averill.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about your childhood school days? Can you tell me a little bit about, did you go to a country school?
Yes, I went to country school out in what we call Spring Prairies until I was supposedly the seventh grade. And then from the seventh grade, in the meantime, my dad had died in 1911. And my mother had married again at that later time. And at the time when she, that first year she was married, I was sent to Thief River Falls to go to the eighth grade there, which I graduated from the eighth grade with an aunt that I stayed with.
Now then, you went to a college before you taught school. Did you go to high school, or did you go from just eighth grade to normal school?
I went from eighth grade right to normal school. In those days, I never went to high school. But the first 2 years, I went 2 years to normal school then. Uh-huh. And I suppose that they were mostly like high school classes at that time. It was English and math and all those things. And then at that time, too, when the end of 2 years, you could get a certificate to go out and teach. I went out to teach when I was 18 years old, with the children, all eighth grades out in the country, you know.
And you did all your own heat for furnished?
Yeah, we made our own fires, and we got our water, hauled our water. I was fortunate that I stayed with a family right across the road from me, this Ingebretson family. Mm-hmm. And they were very kind to me that they would go with over to make a fire for me and do things like that.
Now, I think you said you got $50 a month. Mm-hmm. Is that about right? Now, you were teaching school then, and you were getting about $50
yes,
a month.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. I had $50 a month the first 2 years, really.
Well, then you met Ed Arnberg, didn't
yes,
you?
I met him out there when I was teaching school out there at that place. When I was staying at this place, Ingebretson's place, the late Jama, the mother there, she had, well, her sister Minnie was there from that came to help with thrashing time. And Ed was out there, too, working with the thrashing with these Ingebretson boys, too. And so then Minnie was helping with cooking for this, helping her sister. And so anyway, then she had a boyfriend named Fred Freeman was out there with this thrashing deal, too. And so he was going to dating up Minnie while he take her out this Saturday night, and so that was made up that Ed should take care of the school mom. Well, they so go along, take care of the school mom. Well, it wound up that he went the rest of his life taking care of the school mom.
Well, then you can tell us a little bit about your honeymoon, I suppose. I thought that was interesting.
Okay. Well, then anyway, we weren't married till 1918. See, that's 2 years later or more. Then that we were married. We were married in the Trinity Church in Moorhead with only attendant with my sister. But the reason that why we were married at that time, too, was because Ed had to leave for the Army in 2 weeks. And he was brought up as an orphan and had no family or anybody, and he insisted that we should be married at that time. And that's what really happened. And at the same time, there was a small wedding like that. Was my mother was sick at St. Luke's Hospital. In fact, she was dying. And so that everything was kind of mixed up at that particular time. Mm-hmm. But then we took with that, after we were married, we had a borrowed roadster from when the man, Ed had been working as a well driller, and this man had this roadster, so we borrowed that, and our honeymoon was a trip to Sabin and back, with Evelyn, my sister, sitting in the back seat, too. And that night, then, we came back to Moorhead or Fargo. We stayed that night at the Continental Hotel in Fargo.
Do you know, where was that Continental Hotel?
Well, it was right on, it must have been on First Avenue North, way down. What's called now, I think, well, what is that name of it? It's still there, only a different name.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But it wasn't very, very ritzy place. It was very, you know, that's all. We didn't have any money anyway. Had $5, I think, when they got through.
That's interesting. Now, I think you were also the postmaster at Ava, weren't you?
Yes, my dad was the first postmaster in Avril, and after he died, it became my mother's. She was postmaster. And then when my mother died, then I became. See, we still had that same store in Avril. In fact, the first original store had burned down, so it was a new one rebuilt there. That was while my dad was still living. And so then, anyway, when my mother married again, and when she passed away, then I became postmaster. There were no Democrats or Republicans to tell you which was going to be postmaster at that time.
And you were for 23 years, you were postmaster.
23 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now then, you started a meat processing plant in Minnesota. Was that the first meat first locker plant, I guess,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Where was that?
Well, Ed and I had had this store in April after my mother died, and that we bought out the rest of the family, the girls, my brother, are their share. So Ed and I had it, and then after a while, it was in 39, must have been 49, yeah, must have been about that time, but that we sold out to Mr. and Mrs. Holstein, our place in Averill. Mm-hmm. And then automatically after a time, why, she took over the post office. But we went, Ed went to Barf ahead of me, and I stayed until I could get rid of the post office in Averill. And then we started this locker plant in Borup, because the Steenersons had a lumber yard there, and they wanted us to come there. It would be better business for them, too, probably. And we were the first locker plant in the state of Minnesota.
Well, that was in Borup.
At Borup, yeah.
Then you built one, you built a processing plant in Moorhead, too.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about that.
Then, well, see, Gene went, and Mike Rasmus had worked for us in Borup as a meat cutter. He's grown up from a kid, and we didn't know much about the meat business, so he worked for us. Then he had to go to the Army, and Gene had to go to the Army.
Gene is your son.
My son, Gene, had to go to the Army, too. And so when they came back from the Army, they wanted to go into business by themselves. So they were broke, of course. They were coming back from the Army, so Ed and I were going to stake them to come. And so they were coming to Moorhead. That's where Steenersons came in again. Then we bought these lots from Steenerson. And Gene and Mike were going to come here to run this lacquer plant, and Ed and I were going to stay in Borup. And that was the goose that laid the golden egg, you see. That's Well, anyway, in the meantime, Ed and I in January we would take a vacation so that Gene and Mike were going to run the place in Borup. And then we'd been to Rapid City, where my brother was, and we'd been there 2 days, and the phone rang. Our place had burned down, Borup. Mm. And so then we all came to Moorhead, see, because this place had been started. So then we came to Moorhead, all of us, at that time.
Now, Gene Rasmus was really the butchering and cutting of meat, didn't
well,
he?
Well, he started, yeah, he did. But Ed helped with that, too, when we were first there, because he learned in Borup quite a bit what to do. But then, anyway, Mike was a real good meat man. He's really good. And he was good butcher. But it got to the point where it was too hard for him to butcher a lot again. So, in fact, Gene helped along with the butchering all the time. But then in the end, the last few years, we hired a regular man to come and do the cutting, do the butchering out there.
Now, you'd have people bring in maybe not so many turkeys, but they bring big pieces of meat in, didn't they, that they'd want cut? Wouldn't you take care of?
Yeah, well, they brought in the live animals to start with.
Oh, they did. Huh?
We have a barn right in our building there.
Oh.
It's a barn, pens and everything right in the back of the building. And they would bring in their live animals and pigs and all that to be butchered first and then cut up and wrapped. And first, with beef, it would be aged for a week or 10 days if it was good beef, and so on. And then it was cut up and wrapped and put in the deep freeze and frozen first, then either taken home or else put in the locker.
Did you have, could the ordinary person come in and buy, could I come in and buy meat from
mm-hmm.
your, I
yes.
could at that time.
Yes,
huh?
You could.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We had a nice meat counter there to start with, and there was a grocery store in there too, and even a lunch counter. But then it got to be that there was no Hornbacher's, no Piggly Wiggly's, none of those places at that time when we started. So we really had a real good business in that retail business too. But then those big, with the big meat markets and all those big counters and everything, people buy groceries and automatically buy. So that dwindled down to really, really down. But they could buy bundles of beef or portions and half the beef or so forth, which they still do over there.
Yeah, and Helgeson has it.
Yeah, no, yeah, uh-huh, we still about it.
What about credit? Was that a problem?
Well,
at that time?
Not in Moorhead, it wasn't so bad, but in Averill, when we were there, credit was really bad, because the farmers used to charge all summer long, and so did the wholesale house would charge to us all summer long. Well, then come fall, was supposed to pay, and if it was a bad fall, why, it just wasn't any money, why, and things were really, really bad.
I can see where that would be a problem.
Yeah.
And now going back to you, how many employees did you have here in Moorhead first about?
Well, at first it was only Gene and Mike and my husband, myself, there. But then it got to be, we wound up, I suppose, we sometimes had, in the real busy time, we'd probably have 5 men in the back working assembly line. And we used to process deer, too, you know. We'd be hundreds of deer come in the fall. cut up and wrap, and then wild ducks, people with hunting season for ducks and geese, you know, cleaned and off, and that was all done at night, in the extra time at night with extra help.
Your days are pretty long.
Yes, they were.
What about fringe benefits? Were there any benefits for any of these employees?
Well, in Borup, there really weren't any. But in Morehead, then, we did have a hospitalization. And, of course, they had their own Social Security. And then we did have a retirement home, or a $10,000 policy for Gene and Mike that with something with the income they'd have.
And then you had vacations, of course, after a while.
Well, after about 10 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Then how many hours did they work around? 40 hours, 40 and a half?
Well, when we started out, they worked... Oh, they worked 60, 70, 80 hours a week. But at the end, we tried to. But our own help, like Gene and Mike, there were no set hours, but the other help was 40 hours.
And you worked many hours, too.
Many hours, yeah. There was no set hours.
I know you told about you used to make lunch for them the night before for the noon. And that was quite a task, too. You'd have stew and...
Yeah, I'd make stews and hot dishes and... different kinds of things, and soup, and you know, hot dogs, and all a lot of things like that. And then brings up to, but then that meant running up and down the stairs and going checking the oven and coming back downstairs.
And you were sort of the manager and the bookkeeper, and what all did you do in your type of work? You did almost
anything.
That's
absolutely what that's absolutely what I was, I guess. I took all telephone calls to start with, and got all the bookings, booked everybody for when they should come in with their prior thing. And I said call everybody when it was ready again, and keep track of every person or everybody that brought in like a deer. There's a ticket for every deer. There's a ticket for every beef, and how what to do with it, and written up, you know. And that was part of my job. And when ducks come in, if it was only two ducks, why, there's a card and a record for it. So everybody got their same things back again, you know, on those. And I kept track of all the bookkeeping. I kept track of the unemployment and all those different kinds of things.
Taxes and Social Security.
Yeah.
And you even went to the bank and did the borrowing from if you needed money.
That's right. Like my niece to the bankers sometimes.
And I'm sure the bankers in Morehead were very good to you.
You know, they were very, very good. Very, very good. And I learned to be friends to lots of the people over there.
Yes,
the
I'm
Martins
sure.
The Martins and the Duncans and oh, I don't know how many more.
You knew Mr.
Even
Martin.
Albashir that's over there right now.
Yes, I'm sure. Now, how about, you talked about competition a little, didn't you? The competition with the pig and... Piggly Wiggly
and Hornblockers to start with, yeah.
Now, when you were at, I don't suppose you did so much bartering here, but you did some bartering, didn't you?
And that was out at Averill, yeah. My dad's mostly, ourselves too, when Ed and I took over. When my dad lived, there was a lot of haying done in that, so he used to buy hay, and then he'd have to go to Duluth and sell it again to different commissioners or whoever the commission places that he had. And one time before he died, I went along with him to Duluth when I was only about 9 years old. Took the train from Averill to Cookston and then over to Duluth. And we wound up then, went over to from there to Minneapolis to the World's Fair with my dad and back again.
Mm-hmm, pretty nice.
Yeah.
When did you sell your locker plant in Morehead? Do you remember?
Yeah, in 1978.
1978. So you really worked until 78. Did all of these things.
Yeah, I worked. I didn't. I never drew my Social Security till I was 72 years old.
Oh, you didn't. Huh?
I didn't need it, so I didn't draw it. And then that way, I have more coming later on. You know?
That's smart.
And then another thing, I did work until I was 79 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're. How long have you lived in the same building? It's quite a while.
37 years.
37.
Yeah.
And you intend to live there, I suppose.
As long as I'm able to.
I think it's really great that you can. Mm-hmm. Now, you have some apartments up there, don't you, in your building?
Yeah, we have four apartments up there. See, our folks built that building ourselves. and they were built for ourselves. Like Mike had one apartment, Jean had one, I had one, and the people who run the grocery store had one. But it's gotten now that Jean and Mike each had youngsters, so they had to move out. There's no place really. So they each had their own home, and now it's rented to different people. Right now we had some students up there, and two of them, and the other one is a Laotian family that's been up there for 7 years now. And I have been teaching them their language and helping them along with that.
Which I think is just great.
It's really good for me. And good for them and good for me.
Well, yes, I noticed when...
Really, it's really...
When I was up there visiting...
They are so cute.
They depend on you so much.
They are really great.
When you're talking about Jean, you must say, tell us about the ration stamps. You had ration stamps during World War II.
When we were in Borup. There was rationing then of meat and a lot of items at that time. Well, Jean was in the army. He was wounded over there, and so he was sent back on stretchers by plane from France to England, and then from England back to Illinois, where they had a hospital there. And so, of course, naturally, we wanted to go and see him then at that time when he got back. We had gas rationing, so all the neighbors and a lot of friends out there donated their gas stamps to us so we could go to see him.
Very nice.
Yeah, that was really good too.
What about heating your building? Was that a problem, or what kind of heat did you have in your building?
Oh, we had in Borup was just I don't know. It was gas heat. I suppose that's not too much, but more, I really know mostly about the Morehead, about the gas heating, because out in Averill with the old-time stoves, you know, mm-hmm. old-time heater that you had and that. But, we never had any toilet facilities in Averill until, or no indoor water or any of that until I went to Borup. In that long a time. But now, of course, in Morehead, it was altogether different. But our heating problems in Morehead, we had oil. We heated with oil, and we have the radiators with the hot water and radiators. They still are in the building. Mm-hmm. But our fuel oil bill averaged, all year round, averaged $400 a month.
When was that about?
All the years we were there.
All the years.
Yeah, we were in there. Yeah.
Very good.
Fuel, and I'm sure it still does.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think you should tell us a little about your activities that you have right now. You're such a busy woman.
I guess I am, all right. My first priority is our Savior's Church, our Savior's Lutheran Church, for which I am a charter member of that. But the first few years when I was busy at the store, I didn't seem like I got to do very much with the things. I did help organize the kitchen and when it was being built and a lot of things like that, but not the amount that I have tried to do since. Now, I did belong to a circle at that time, but I was not active in it and so. But now, in the last years, I've been active in the library circle. I've been chairman of that and working in the library. And one of our projects is to, some other members and myself, we take the large print books to Eventide and to the Americana Place out in Morehead Mirror Health Center, or to the homes of different people who it's hard for them to read, and the small print, and bring them this large print, and bring them the Christ in Our Home pamphlets and things like that. And we've done that for many, many months, and we even did it last month now, the two with Eunice Olsted and myself, to Fairmont, over to the new Fairmont place. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we have been doing. And then I belong to Fellowship, which is a senior group, which I partly got acquainted with you, Eleanor, I think, and then through the Bible study that we have over there, where we met too, and got to
That's
know
right.
each other, be friends.
That's right.
And this fellowship, I'm on the committee for the programs and things, which I've done for several years, and helped put on skits and stuff like that. And then through the Village Family Service Center over in Fargo, through them I have been adopted grandmother toward two little boys and their mother and dad, that the family, for as well. It's been 3 years this fall now since that, and that has been wonderful too. Just they are just great, and it's been so good for me, and I believe it's good for them too.
Well, I do too. And at our Sir Optimist Club, I think I told you that we showed
that film,
movie,
uh-huh.
And you were on that movie, and it was most interesting, I thought.
I really enjoyed it. Then I visited Eventide a lot in the years since I've retired. I have many, many friends that I know over there, older people who I've known for years, just like I've known Paul Ureen or some of these other people. And used to go over there with a senior bus and at 10 o'clock in the morning and stay till 4 in the afternoon and visit them and have lunch with them and then play cards with some of the older people and do things like that. And I have done some of that now in the last, well, this last year now again. Except for 1983 when I was having problems with being sick and that. But otherwise, I have done it quite often going over there. I was over there just a month ago now, too, again, which I just love doing that. Mm-hmm. It is one of the best things I do.
Isn't that?
That's really something.
It's pretty nice for them, too, because they...
Oh, they love it.
Yes, uh-huh. I'm sure.
And you don't have to spend a lot of time with them either. All you have to do is to love them up a little, give them a kiss or something, and tell them how pretty you look today. And there's so many things.
It's so gratifying.
Yes, it really is.
Yes, I should say. Now, you did something the other day for over at St. Luke's. Maybe you should tell us a little bit about that.
Well, they're starting a new geriatric department. Department over there for elderly people, being assessing the person as to how you live at home and what you eat and what you do and your what pains and aches you have, and do those things so to avoid you being sick or having to go to the hospital. And so they called me and asked me to come over there, and so with Dr. Pitts and the nurse over there, Susan. They picked me up, took me over, and we spent about 3 hours taking pictures of all the different departments and seeing what things can be done with that, you know. And then I think maybe I should say something too about my grandchildren. Jane had two girls and two boys, and the one girl never married, and the other girl has been married and has three little boys, and she has one 7 and one six and one 10 and one 13 now. And then my grandson is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota now, and he has two, a little boy and a little girl. And then that one, the older boy that's out in Montana right now, he had one boy, and he's 17 years old now. So I have 6 great-grandchildren and 4 grandchildren.
Very nice.
Yep.
You were also a member of the Quota Club, weren't you?
Yes, I was at one time.
So you met a lot of interesting people through that.
I met a lot of people through that, too, yeah.
I think before we close, you should tell us a little about what happened in December over at Bethesda. You tell us about that. I think that was interesting.
Well, the Bethesda, they have what they call the Lucia is a tradition in Sweden that they have each Christmas, where the head of the oldest child comes in and gives breakfast to the rest of the family, and has the candles with the lights all around her head, a wreath around her head, lit candles. Well, over at Bethesda Church now, they've been celebrating each year of the same thing. With a lot of people taking part in it, with marching with the candles and so on and so forth. Well, this year at that day when they were to have this, I got a call from one of the ladies and asked me if I was going to go to the meeting, and I said, no, I don't think I am tonight. Well, she said, if I pick you up, would you go? And well, I said, okay, what's the problem? And well, they want me to be honorary Lucia that night, and which was quite an honor, too. She picked me up and so on. Then I marched with them up there in front, and it was with them all evening.
Nice.
They took a lot of pictures, and they had them. A lot of memories. I have many, many memories.
Yes, I'm sure.
Many, many memories. So thankful for all the people that I have come in contact with, including yourself and all the people, the young people at church who have been so good and kind to me and take me to so many places. Watch out for me if there's a storm coming. And I can't tell you all the things.
Well, it's pretty nice.
It's really, really good.
But you have done a lot for other people, too, so that makes a great deal of difference,
I don't dwell on those things. I'm dwelling on all the things that somebody's done for me.
And I enjoyed the remark you made at church the other day when you were saying something about it's not hard to get old, it isn't any problem at all.
No.
Which is really quite a remark, I think.
Well, that's what I say now. I said, this is the happiest time of my life. It's really the best time of my life. It's a time where I can do what I like to do I read a lot, and I don't feel sorry for myself, I don't believe. I manage to keep busy and do things that I like to do, and really it is the happiest days of my life because people like yourself that make it that way.
It's very nice to hear, because we're all are going to be a little older every day, you know.
Yeah, that's
so that
right.
Is pretty nice to hear.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to say before we close?
Like I said, I'm grateful to be given the opportunity to tell my friends in Morehead and the Heritage Commission the story of the happenings in my life and about Arnberg and Rasmus Meats and Lager Plant in Morehead.
You've had a complete full life, haven't you?
I really have.
And you have a birthday coming in June?
Yes.
June, what's the date?
June 12th.
June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't imagine you want to tell us how old you will be.
Well, I'm proud of it. Like I say, I'm proud that I'm 19. I will be 87 years old
June
12th.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
I'm really proud of that.
You've done very well, and thank you so very much,
well,
Clara. We
thank
do appreciate
you.
Your help.
This
will go
thank
into
you
archive.
Thank you.